our Redeemer lives, doesn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, today is, of course, Confirmation Sunday, and Pastor Nick shared a word from Psalm 107 that I think is so fitting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So thank you to each of you that have said so. And for all of us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What a joy it is to be encouraged by the students this morning, to hear of their faith, to hear of the hope of the gospel. That is the reason we gather. That is the message I hope to proclaim to you today, is this message of reconciliation. We're going to look at what it means to be an ambassador of reconciliation. And as you open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at what it means again to be ambassadors of reconciliation. I thought it was so fitting that Kason mentioned to be an ambassador, to share this message of what Christ has done. That is our calling today. You'll hear from the word. So as we dive in, let's open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a beautiful gospel passage this is. What a beautiful hope we have of reconciliation in him. You know, reconciliation implies a relationship. Every relationship has two or more parties. I want to look at our relationship with Christ this morning, and this relationship that we have with him. We see what Christ has done for us, and it's so clearly stated in this passage, but also that which Christ calls us to do on behalf of him. So first, looking at what Christ has done on our behalf. Well, that's pretty simple. That's the gospel. That's the message of the cross. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. It was the great exchange. It was Christ in our place. That's the message this morning, and I hope that message never gets old for you. I hope you never lose sight of how amazing it is that the Son of God came, took on flesh, bore your sins on the cross, rose again in victory, so that he would reconcile us to himself, to a right relationship with God the Father, to peace with God because of what Christ has done. So again, reconciliation implies a relationship, and where there was a violation, where our sins are awful before God, and they are, God has made reparation. God has made reconciliation in Christ. One commentary I came across put it this way. I think this is well said. It said, God took it upon himself to change our status from enemies to friends. And how did he do that? He did that through Christ our Lord. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And the students this morning have demonstrated or shared their faith in the gospel. And in meeting with the students, I myself had an opportunity to sit down with the students and Pastor Nick and Kyle as they questioned the students, as we heard from the students in just a time of interview. And the students gave a good understanding of the gospel, that it is by grace and not by our works. Pastor Nick had the students explain what Ephesians 2:8 means. We know this verse well. For it is by grace that you've been saved. And it's, of course, not of yourselves. that no one should boast, and the students understood this. And as I was sitting in the interviews, I kept thinking of something that Pastor Alistair Begg said in a message. I had just heard a sermon of his, and he was speaking against this idea of faith plus works. And I shared this with the students, and I thought, that might be worthwhile to share this with the church too. And Pastor Begg he's speaking essentially, again, against our inclination to faith plus works. You know, that's in us. We always feel like we need to earn, right? So Pastor Begg asks the classic question. He paints the scenario. He says, and you can imagine this with me if you would, imagine that you're standing before God on Judgment Day. And God asks to you, he says, why should I let you enter paradise? How might you respond? That's a good question for us to consider. How might we respond if God were to ask, why should I let you into paradise? We might say all sorts of things. Well, God, Jesus, I followed you. I loved you. I went to church. I gave up my time. I gave up my money. I had faith. And isn't it sad how so easily in our sin nature we take faith, the gift of faith, and make it something that we've done, make it something that we've earned, make it about ourselves and how we've trusted God, the kind of faith that I have. You see, Pastor Begg was pointing against this, and you see the basis. And I agree with him. And from Scripture, we know that the basis of our reconciliation before God is not what I have done. So rather, the better answer to the question is not what I have done, God, but what he's done. If God were to ask you why you should enter paradise, the real answer isn't I, it's he. It's Christ. It's not me, it's him. Our passage says, he made him who knew no sin on our behalf. It was him on our behalf. It's about what he's done, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Those pronouns matter because it's all about him and it's not about what we've done. And it's amazing. In this passage, we find, again, afresh the gospel promise, the center of our hope. It says in verse 19, that he has not counted our transgressions against us. Stop and consider that for a moment this morning. He does not count your sins against you in Christ. This week, that nasty thing you thought, the nasty thing you said, the nasty thing you did, in Christ you're forgiven. And it is not counted against you. It's paid in full. Hear this from Colossians 2. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. Hear this part. Having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. This record of debt, your debt, is a long list. It's a big debt, but it's not counted against you in Christ. This word counted against it, it's in the original language, it's a bookkeeping term. It has a monetary aspect to it. So just out of curiosity, you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe by a show of hands, how many of you have a mortgage? Oh, yeah. Lots of them. That's a pretty big debt, isn't it? That's a pretty big debt. If our sins are like a mortgage, maybe our home's valued at, let's say, $400,000, us trying to pay for our debt is like taking a $100 bill and saying, is this enough? It doesn't come anywhere close. Our good works are like $100 against a $400,000 mortgage. It's not enough. We can't pay the debt. We can't reconcile that which we owe. But God has paid for it in full. We have been redeemed. We've been bought back. We've been reconciled into a relationship of peace with God our Father. What a gracious gift this is. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that God has been so good to you to not count your sins against you. We need to hear the message of the cross because we so often forget the message of the cross. Do we not? We do. Foolish people we are thinking we could pay God back. Foolish people we are thinking we could make it up to him. Faith plus works. We always want to go back to that for some reason. Why? Christ is enough. Don't sell Jesus short. Don't sell the grace of God short. The grace of God is a big, big, amazing thing. And your record of debt is nailed to the tree. It's done. So the message of the cross, the whole purpose of the cross, is, again, is to reconcile us to right relationship with God. He's had mercy on us. Verse 18, he's reconciled us to God, to himself through Christ. Verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We have peace with God in Christ. Are these just words, friends? We come each week, we hear the message of the cross. Are these just words that we say? Or do we take this to heart? You know, peace with God is an ongoing thing. It's not just yesterday. It's today and tomorrow and every day of our lives. In light of Christ's work on the cross for us, see how your relationship with God is described in verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. It says this, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. You are ambassadors on behalf of Christ. You live your Christian life on behalf of Christ. That's the other side of your relationship with him, is how you live, how you act, how you respond to the gospel, how you walk in right relationship and faith in Christ. So what is an ambassador? What is an ambassador? Many different ways we could describe this, many different ways we could define this. A simple way to think of it is simply this. An ambassador is a representative who acts on behalf and under the authority of the one who sends him. And that's exactly what we are. We act on behalf of Jesus and under his authority. We don't speak on our own authority. An ambassador doesn't speak on his own authority or his own initiative, but rather he speaks on behalf of the one who sent him. You know, I was trying to stop and think about who's an ambassador? What's a famous ambassador? How can I illustrate this? Who comes to mind? And there was one person that stuck out. One person in our nation's history that stuck out as a famous ambassador. This man from 1776 to 1778 went on a commission to France, and he was charged with the critical task of gaining French support for the cause of American independence. His popularity and diplomatic skill, along with American success on the battlefield at Saratoga, convinced France to recognize American independence and conclude an alliance with the 13 states in 1778. Who was that ambassador? None other than Benjamin Franklin. That's what it takes to get on the $100 bill. To be the first ambassador of the United States, the first representative. Again, Ben Franklin, he represented the cause of independence for our nation. He spoke on behalf of the new nation. A famous quote of his is this. Ben Franklin, again, speaking on behalf of the nation, said, "Our new Constitution is now established and has an appearance that now promises permanency." The quote goes on to say, "But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain but death and taxes." Amen? Amen to that. Ben Franklin spoke on behalf of the nation as our first ambassador. We, as Christians, speak on behalf of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation, the God, the Sovereign Lord, the King, the most powerful being and our Savior. As his ambassador, what is our message? Our message is simply this: reconciliation to God. Be reconciled to God. And so Paul says in this passage, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Do you hear the urgency in those words? Be reconciled to God. Have peace with God. See what Christ has done and that you, through Christ, can have right relationship with God because he's made peace. Your sins are no longer counted against you. You are forgiven. And God desires to lead you, to love you, to do relationship, to do life with you. Don't reject God's peace offer. The altar is open. We sang, "Oh, come to the altar." The Father's arms are open wide. You know, I can never presume that everyone in this room is truly a believer, that everyone in this room has put their faith in Christ. I beg you, come forward. Have relationship with God. His arms are wide open. He loves you. He died for you. He paid for your sins. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord all the days of your life since as long as you can remember, since your confirmation years. And yet maybe there's still things for you that feel like you're not at peace with God. You look at your sins and you think, there's no way God can forgive me this time. To you, I would also say, I beg you, be reconciled to Christ. Come see, come hear what the Savior has done. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Because in him, you have reconciliation. You have peace with God. Christians, God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It is our great responsibility to take this message to the world that they might hear of the Savior who died for them, who loves them, the same Savior who's died for you and loves you. What a joy it is that we get to be ambassadors, representatives of this loving, merciful, good God. Confirmation students, you are ambassadors for Christ. Thank you for being representatives today as you've shared your faith. It's not just for you, it's for all of us. It's not just for pastors. Notice it says we, that's all Christians, are ambassadors, representatives of the gospel message to the world. So friends, know that today, your Christian life, this isn't the end, this is the beginning, just as I said in the first service, right? Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. Walk in peace and reconciliation with God because he's made everything, he's taken care of everything necessary in Christ. We live as ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of the King and his cross. Take the message to the world. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. And so, Lord, we thank you for the message of the cross. We thank you that you've taken it upon yourself to make peace with us sinful men. Lord, help us to rest in the truth that in Christ you do not count our sins against us, but rather you've made full satisfaction for our sins. Father, I thank you for the students that have shared. I pray that you would lead them all the days of their lives. I pray that they would be a great witness to the world of that which you've done for them. I pray that you would set their hearts on fire for you and for the message of your gospel. Lead us and guide us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name.